Hello, everyone, and welcome back to part two of Only Mama Knows.
Only Mama Knows. Ah.
Yes.
That's how the song goes, yeah?
Yeah, that's how the song pretty much goes. But Only Mama Knows how the song goes. But so you're, I guess, oh, you're a mama, so you do know.
I do know.
She be out here knowing. But yeah, you have Grey's Academy, the greatest Grey's Anatomy podcast ever conceived by two mortal beings, because we are not immortal. We're also not immoral. And mm-hmm. I'm Carmen. She's Kelsey. It's great to be back.
Yeah, and we're going to start with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
Now, if you'll recall, mm-hmm. last week, mm-hmm. we had no one in Shondaland.
Mm-hmm. This week we've
got... very sad.
We've got five.
There's two.
Oh. Is one of them the doctor in the flashback who goes, you're a very crafty or resourceful little girl?
No, but I also thought he would be, but he was not.
They like to throw those little like teeny tiny teasers. Is one of them the new chief of surgery that Ellis had to deal with?
No.
Is one of them the new Ellis?
Yes.
Okay. The other one is the mom of that girl who got surgery.
No.
Roy.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so Roy's name is Raphael J. Noble, and he was in one episode of Private Practice, and young Ellis is Sally Pressman, and she was in three episodes of Scandal.
Ah.
So, there you go.
What did she do in Scandal?
Do you remember when Phoebe Buffay ran for governor?
Now I do.
She was her younger sister, but actually, spoiler alert if you have not yet watched Scandal, because this is a good one. Skippity, skip, skip. She was actually her younger, she was pretending to be her younger sister. Well, she thought she was a younger sister, but it was actually Phoebe's, the kid that she had when she was like 15. And then her mom kept her and then raised them like sisters, but Phoebe was actually her mom.
Yes, yes.
That's it, motherfuckers.
I do remember that now. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, Shonda knows what she's doing.
Most of the always.
That's right.
And you know what I want to say, or take something back, because previously I had said like, oh, the second Shonda leaves, it's not as good anymore. And I think I was wrong. I think I misspoke when I said that, because so far I do think season 11 has been just as good.
It's been really, pretty fire.
My only like issue with it is that Christina's not there, which is not a Shonda problem. And not really a problem a writer can fix. So I take it back. I think the Shonda voice is still very strong. I think she left with a very good team in place who still really understands her and her vision for the show. But I do remember watching and like feeling a tonal shift and being like, what is happening? And looking it up. So it's got to be in like the next season or two. I'm wondering if it will jump out at me as strongly as it did the first time I watched it. And whatever, and then I'll have to pinpoint what the shift is. So, I want to say that. I think Shonda is a very unique and gifted and talented person and writer and creative. And I think she has such like a clear vision and voice for this show. But I do think she also built like a great crew and team around her that also understood that. So when she left, she was still leaving the show in very capable hands. And also, she was there for 10 years, so the characters and the actors playing the characters, I think, were really well established. And like
they kind of knew what they were doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Too. Yeah, yeah.
So that's that.
What's interesting, so now that I'm thinking about it, let's call out the people we didn't see in this episode at all. We didn't see Callie.
Owen.
April.
Which is fine. Not mad about that.
Yeah, not mad about Owen.
It's all Jackson for like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
No April.
No. Leah's officially gone now.
Leah's gone. She's
Leah's gone.
Christina's gone. R.I.P.
We didn't get any Olivia or George or Izzy in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Really so interesting.
True. Denny wasn't there either.
Neither was Burke or Han. Dylan. Oh.
Whoa.
Also, no Stark. Like, this episode sucked.
I did like this episode, though.
It was a good episode.
I liked the flashbacks. I was curious, though, if it was going to, like, be tricky for you to follow just in, like, the nature of the timeline and, like, the back and forth. And some of them were more, like, silent flashbacks, and some of them were very expositional.
Well, sorry.
How dare you yawn at me, a big, sick person, old... an hour later than you.
How dare I, a man, yawn at a woman?
So true.
There was, in the beginning of the episode, they flash back for the first time, and it's, I think, to...
Yeah, like Meredith at the carousel.
Yeah, it's the carousel.
Or just like childhood, like kind of a bunch of childhood flashbacks.
And I thought this episode was going to be very sequential, where it was going to go down one storyline, but kind of come in and out of flashbacks. But then they started adding other storylines in. So it didn't, there are some Grey's episodes that happen where it feels very sequential and things happen in a manner of it's linear. Yes. Look at us.
Wow.
We are on it. We finish each other's
sandwiches.
That's what I was going to say.
Amazing.
We are so in sync.
Yeah, it wasn't as linear, but I still feel like I really enjoyed the storytelling, because to me it makes sense, because it's like a shared story in a way for Meredith and Richard, and they're almost like piecing it together for the other person and for themselves.
But my point is I thought it was going to be more linear, and then it wasn't. It had these kind of trees, but it wasn't hard to follow. The one kind of big plot twist, speaking of the flashbacks and Richard, is so at one point Richard says, or Meredith goes in and is like, I went through the journals, but like, can you remember anything about that day? It like when everything kind of changed, or something about that like date in the journal.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I remember meeting your mom, but I don't know. I don't remember what she said. That was a long time ago. I'm old and
I'm
fickle.
So old, Meredith. Feel bad for me. I'm so old.
I'm so old. I'm just a person.
An old man.
And so, but then later on, he comes back and he's like, listen, I lied. Yeah. I respect it. Do we have, which, there was a scene. I feel like I would love to have the receipts on that if you have...
Which one? There's so many scenes.
Okay. It's the scene where Weber came in and said he lied. He
talked
about a lot
before.
There. Yeah.
About what happened the day at the carousel. I remembered what she said. I remember what I said. I remember everything. It was a Thursday afternoon. We had made a pact. She would leave Thatcher and I would leave Adele. Your mother had just received her first Harper Avery nomination. She was so excited and I was jealous. Not healthy competition. A hateful, hopeless jealousy, too far ahead to catch up to. Her success illuminated everything I had not yet accomplished. The night before, as I worked up the nerve to tell Adele, I thought of your mother. I thought of what she could do at such a young age. I thought of what she would do. And I thought, I will spend my life feeling like this, my entire life. So I ruined it.
Yeah. And then Meredith says something after that. What does she say?
We would have had a whole other life. And he said, everything after that was my fault. I made the wrong choice for the wrong reason. And there's hardly a day goes by that I don't. I'm so sorry. And Meredith said, I bet you are. Which is a crazy response, but I love her delivery. Because it wasn't like, yeah, I bet you fucking are, dumbass. It was just like so matter of fact. It was like, yeah, I bet you are. Like, I don't know. Like, I loved the way she delivered that line. Because that could have been real snarky and angry, but I just didn't like feel like there was. Now, what I do think is crazy is when they Richard tells that story and they kind of show the flashback intermittently while he's telling that. And they in the flashback, he's saying, we can't do this. You have a child, which is crazy because
they
that's
just
not
said,
new
yeah.
information.
But they just said that she didn't go into that knowing.
Well, no. You have a child like Meredith.
Oh,
so
that makes sense. Yeah, makes
not
sense.
New information. He knows Meredith. not the reason that he doesn't want to be with her. And super fucked up, because how much did that singular comment contribute to the hatred that Ellis carried around for Meredith the rest of her fucking life?
Yeah, like, dude.
Brutal.
Fucking I didn't even brutal. Think about that. That's why you're the professor.
It's like, it's insane. Also, when he's like, I was jealous, am I meant to believe that had she not that same day been nominated for a Harper Avery or been put on the shortlist to be nominated, he would have left Adele? Or was he just looking at something to blame for not, like, working up the nerve to do it? Like, would he, if she hadn't, would he have still been like, well, you have a kid, we shouldn't do this, it's wrong? Or would he have actually left it out? Like, truly, I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, and I don't think we're ever going to know the answer, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I could ask Shonda one day.
When we meet her, when we're on a first-name basis with her. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think Shonda listens to this podcast. I think she's having a good time rewatching her own show.
I don't think she listens, but I do think she's a queen, angel, woman, model, role model, angel, just gift to humanity, and I love her so much.
Do you think that she's aware that we exist?
Possibly.
I think that there is a chance that she's aware that Grey's Academy, hosted by Carmen
they
and Kelsey,
did
exists.
Mention us in that New York Times article, so I do feel like there's a medium chance.
Yeah, that's true. And if you search what's like, if she was sitting on her bed, right, her gigantic bed with, I imagine, 13 border collies in the bed with her. And she's like, I wonder what the best Grey's Anatomy podcast on the internet is.
She did used to do one.
Oh.
Been a long time, though.
Well,
there was like an official one, I feel like. Well, I think there was just like a Shondaland behind the scenes Shondaland podcast. But well, she talked about Grey's on it sometimes.
It makes it even more impressive that Google Gemini thinks that we're the best. So
I actually don't give a shit what you would do when
I think
sorry. There are real websites that rank us first, though.
There are, yes. So that's a great point, Kelsey. I hadn't even thought of that. I also, full disclosure, forgot about that whole episode where she comes in and she's in like a manic state and Meredith goes and like hides behind the door.
That was the very first time she was ever there at the hospital.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
That's like pretty early.
Yeah. It's in the first season.
Yeah. So, okay. We've got a couple other patients.
Yeah, we haven't done talked shit about these patients.
Yeah. So Nadia, right?
That
Nadia?
Sad.
Yeah. That's very sad.
That very stressed me out.
I'm so glad that 10-year-old girl wasn't pregnant though. So glad.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously I remembered that she wasn't, and I remember that it got revealed quickly, but I was a little concerned that there was like a scene in between when they first find her and when they reveal she's not pregnant. And so when it was like in the initial intake, I was like, thank God. We're not like left wondering for that long. So this woman comes in and she's like, oh, I was bringing my friend here and I found this little girl like writhing in pain outside. So Meredith goes out. This little girl's in a lot of pain. She has a huge, like, distended stomach in a way that looks like potentially could be a pregnancy.
Yeah.
She's 10. So they've got her. They're trying to, like, get her an intake in the trauma room. Alex gets a ultrasound on her, and they realize it's a tumor, not a pregnancy. They do end up in surgery, obviously, take it out. It is almost 8 pounds, which is the size of a baby.
Yeah.
Ish, like some babies are smaller,
some are bigger.
So there's a lot of conversation with like Alex and Steph and Meredith about letting a child get this sick, and is that child abuse, and like, oh, is she abandoned, like call CPS, child protective services, social services, all this stuff. And I definitely understand the thought process. Obviously later on, like, the reveal is the woman who quote unquote found her was her mother. And Meredith is like, that's like you did a bad thing. And the mom says, like, I was afraid because we're undocumented and I was so afraid if I took her literally anywhere to get any help, we would be like found out and deported. And it doesn't say where specifically they're from, but like we're meant to believe it is a not a very forward country, I guess would be the right word, or not like a very well-developed country, maybe. She's saying like the mom's like essentially saying like I would have to be a prostitute to take care of us, or worse, they'll make her a prostitute. And it's very sad. And Meredith does hear her out, and Meredith listens, and then somehow, kind of gloss over this, lies CPS away, and just is like, my bad, a misunderstanding, which is, I feel like they would have some follow up questions.
Absolutely, and but I don't think they could just go away after that. They're like, we got to do. They do in fact
just go away after that. So, then they bring in hospital lawyers, and they're like, they're going to work with you and like explain to you your medical rights, and like kind of will work with you on like a payment plan. So like, don't worry about any of that. Like you're safe. You can stay with her. So it ends resolved well. It just like should not be a concern.
No. And when you think about the payment plan for someone who's uninsured, that's a lifelong
that's a
bill.
Problem. Like the whole concept of like, it's just like people come here because they want a better life. And then we just
give them a worse life.
Like, I just like don't understand. Like and it's always people who say they're pro-life. Like you're not actually pro-life. You're just pro like life for a very specific minutia of people.
Yeah. It is pretty crazy. I mean, the mom is like, and also she never says that she's the mom. She never actually admits to being the mom. They just,
yeah, she does.
I thought that you don't.
Yeah, she definitely does.
Oh, okay. Maybe I was like really trying to lock.
She literally
in
says
like,
my daughter.
So. Does she? Okay, my bad. I believe you. When she's sitting there and she's like, either we'll starve to death or we'll both end up in prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks. Yeah. Sucks, but like that is a world reality. That is just, it's just sad and an unfair truth.
Yeah. Yeah, so. We can just like support people. And also like, why is our healthcare system so dumb?
Mm.
Oh, I did get a bill from my insurance for the sleep study that I had to cancel because I couldn't go to because they wouldn't pay for it. And then they billed me for not showing up for it. So,
are you going to fight it?
Obviously, I'm going to fight it. I'm not going to pay them. I didn't go. They didn't pay for it. They are the reason I canceled. So fucking dumb.
I was trying to get a medicine the other day, and the pre-authorization hadn't gone through in time, like to get it, like the medicine, they had to ship it in and all this stuff. And the doctor told me it should be a copay of $45 or $40 or whatever. And I was like, okay, cool. I get to the CVS and they're like, all right, that'll be $500. And I'm like, nope, not doing it.
Did you ask them why the fuck it was $500?
Yeah, because the pre-authorization was submitted incorrectly. And I'm like, I can't do this with you. America is this terrible.
This is so fucking dumb. Like, it's 2026.
I have a hard time when in these doctor shows, they're just under dramatizing what bills actually are in these shows. And this is one of those moments.
There's a scene in like the first season when parents come in with their daughter who's been having like seizures, and Derek's like, oh, we're going to do this like super easy shunt surgery. It's like not a big deal. And then she'll be good for the rest of her life. And they say, how much is something like that going to cost? To which he says, don't worry about that. We'll take good care of her. They're going to worry. They're still going to do it because they love their baby. But like, don't worry about it is an insane thing to say, quite honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways, sad story. Big fat bummer that it's still really fucking relevant.
Yeah.
12 years later. So.
It also.
We've come so far, you guys.
it's interesting. So the Nadia surgery is where we get that conversation from Alex and Meredith about mm-hmm. the thing. And Alex, it's revealed that he knows how to do a Dutch braid, which is just a French braid, but harder, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And he does say that it's either her mother or she's a saint, because no one takes the time to do a Dutch braid this good. There was that scene where she starts crashing and Weber is watching Meredith, and she's mm-hmm. doing this flashback to him and her talking, him and Ellis talking about the balloon tamponade, and then Meredith decides to do a balloon tamponade and it works. It's catheter,
but yes.
No, it's a balloon tamponade.
It's a balloon catheter.
It says, no, tamponade. That's what they said. I literally wrote it down.
I know that's what you wrote down. I'm telling you, they did a balloon catheter.
No, they said balloon tamponade.
I think she was having some kind of tamponade.
Okay,
or go maybe, back. Maybe one of them says balloon catheter. Maybe the other one says...
Look up
maybe
the receipts. Look
Ellis
up the receipts.
Says balloon catheter and Meredith says balloon tamponade.
Look it up. Look up the receipts.
Okay, find continue the to tell the story.
Anyways, while you're looking up to confirm that I was correct... It was a cool scene. It was a cool yeah. flashback scene, because I think what they're trying to articulate there is Meredith is like Ellis in a medical sense.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I think we already pointed that out, that it would be cool if Derek was comparing Meredith to Ellis in a medical way, because it's very impressive. She's a Harper Avery Award winner multiple times over. Mm-hmm. It's not cool to try to hurt Meredith in the way that he was trying to. So yes. That was a cool scene to see them flashing back to it. It also then flashes to them talking about leaving their partners. And then it has that flashback to her getting the chief of surgery coming in and being like, hey, this is the deal. No surgical resident's ever gotten this before. We hope you stay in Seattle, because if after this, you'll probably have the pick of the litter wherever you want to go, blah, 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 blah. So all that happens very quickly in succession, and it's all over Nadia's case. So I like how Nadia was kind of the vessel for that particular piece of the storyline to go through. And then I do like that Meredith does confront the mom and then allow herself to basically save the mom from Child Protective Services. It's kind of like she fixes the problem she creates by calling them.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I mean, I do think in the moment.
You have to call them. You have to call
them.
Yeah,
you don't, when you don't, without all the information, definitely the situation as presented would warrant them being called. It's just a bummer that the situation had to exist in the first place.
Yeah.
The poor mom.
Also, can I tell you that Drake May really did not do well for us tonight?
That's right. I think I played Herbert, so.
Oh. Yeah, he had 3 interceptions tonight, so.
Well, good for... Who does he play for? The fucking Patriots or some shit?
Yes.
I hate him.
Also, people who say that Caleb Williams is not as good as Drake May can suck a butt upside down.
Is Caleb Williams the Bears?
Yeah.
Okay.
Best quarterback in the league.
Oh, that's just not true.
Oh, then who is?
Probably Josh Allen.
Oh my gosh. Josh Allen. Here we go. Always about Josh Allen. I'm just kidding. He's probably
correct.
The best. Yeah, he's probably the best.
Okay. Wait, who was the other patient? Oh, Roy.
Roy!
So Maggie's doing like a
Did
normal-
you look up the receipts, by the way? Was I correct?
We were both correct. Because they do a balloon tamponade with a catheter. You're going to look me in my tiny little sick person eyes and tell me if this was not reversed and you looked it up and they used a catheter to do a balloon tamponade and you had said what I said, you wouldn't be like, we're both correct, because that's your favorite fucking thing to say.
Okay.
Oh, we're both right. We're both right.
Hold on.
And you only say Hold that on. When you're absolutely wrong.
Hold on. This one time, we are both correct. But it's leaning more
so
towards
So all the
me.
Times you say we're both correct, only I'm correct. Amazing. Okay.
No.
So Maggie is doing the procedure in the cath lab to Roy. It's like a pretty standard procedure. He's not even asleep for it. Then something happens and all of a sudden he like is paralyzed, because whatever procedure she was doing, the blood has now stopped going to his spine, but it's like a really high up spinal injury. So they, this is also conveniently when Amelia is in there to talk to Maggie. So she kind of like helps her try something or another. Like he's still, like they put him all the way under because they figured out what's going on, but he's not like, it's not a full like open heart surgery. And so they're like, what can we do? What can we do? And then Derek's there. He tries something else, spinal cord drainage. That unfortunately still does not work. So they're like, it is what it is. No, there's no solve. And then Maggie's like, you know what we should do is just crack his chest and do this crazy thing. Sorry. Where we use an aneurysm. This is why I don't understand. They use an aneurysm to build him a new aorta.
Yeah,
and that means that, nothing to me.
It was when they were like, that sounds crazy. Who could do that? And Derek's like, not many people can.
Yeah, but like in a way that, yes, it's crazy, but it has been done before. Like that's what was mind blowing to me.
Yeah, it was underexplained, but yeah, sounded insane.
But they also like explained it thoroughly because they were like, oh, we made a new aorta and then we're going to use the aneurysm to do a little side aorta straight to the spine. What?
Yeah, is it just like, and I guess I don't really know enough about what aneurysms are because I thought they're just blood clots that exist and float
and then
through your
kill
bloodstream.
You.
So they said, let's take this tumbleweed out of your blood vessel and turn it into a second heart.
Yeah, like I don't understand truly. And I'm like, the hearts are important and aneurysms are bad. So I cannot fathom the understanding of how these things are going together to save this man. But good news, ultimately it works and Roy is not paralyzed, which is amazing.
Mm. Yeah, it is great. It's what's interesting. So what do they call the reflex, the something reflex?
Babinski.
Babinski.
Which was delightful.
So that was interesting that they're like, wiggle your toes. You're like, all right, I'm doing it. And then he can't wiggle, but he has the reflex there still. But then later on when Derek has him turn over, he doesn't have the reflex.
No, he does have the reflex.
No. I thought the second time he didn't have any.
No, both times, because they're like having the reflex is a sign of being paralyzed.
Right. But I thought one time he had it, and then by the time Derek came in, he didn't have it anymore. No,
he has it with Amelia, and then Derek does whatever he does, and he still has it. And then Derek's like, sorry, I did my best. And then Maggie's like, let's crack his chest.
Yeah, I do remember that when she's like, all right, go, Joe, go get consent. And they already start. And she's like,
yeah,
all
they're
right.
Like halfway through. They're like done with the surgery. I'm like, Joe, what did you like skip and get some lunch? Like where, what took you so long?
Yeah. But that's a story that works out well for him. His toes wiggle, wiggle, wiggle toes.
Yeah. They wake him up and he's wiggling.
It would have been really nice if they were like, this little piggy went to the market. This little piggy stayed home. I still remember one of my favorite memories of Gabe. When he lived with us, I don't remember what the situation was.
I know exactly.
But he said this little piggy went to the market, but he started on the fucking pinky toe. And I don't know why, but that filled me with so much rage because I was like, that little piggy cries wee, wee, wee all the way home. The big toe goes to the fucking market and everyone knows that.
You're not wrong, but I do think about that often and how mad you were and how it was like a full-blown screaming match.
I was so mad. Were you there for that?
I don't think so, but I think possibly Scarlett was, and that was the impetus for the toe situation because she had her tiny baby toes there.
Maybe that. So was it on Scarlett and not Jess? Because
if he was doing this little piggy on Jessica, I have too many too many questions. There's no way that we could sort that out.
I think what I remember happening, because you know we have that couch where it has the L on it. I think Jess was laying head on one side, feet towards the L, and Gabe was on the L. And I walk in and I'm talking to them or something, and he goes, "This is the piggy incident." Like, I don't know why that's my memory, but all I remember.
I mean, maybe I wasn't there. I know I wasn't there, but I have heard the tale.
Yeah. Speaking of going to the market, this little piggy is going to take a capitalism break, and we'll be right back. And we are back. Thank you. Thank you, pig markets.
Amazing.
Oh, goodness. Roy also was the catalyst for Derek and Pierce finally talking, and Amelia getting her awkwardly cute and funny moments.
Yeah. So those are really the only patients this episode, right?
Mm-hmm. Those were the only
patients.
I guess
Callie and Owen are off with the veterans, and April's who knows where, and Jackson's probably doing some paperwork.
She's taking the piggy to the market, because she's a pig farmer.
Right, right.
I also do want to call out, also, because this is the last note I have on the Roy situation, the look on Derek's face of shock and joy when Pierce told him that that was the truth about Meredith was just so joyful. It really did make me happy.
Yeah.
Mm.
So then at the end, first of all, when Derek goes to talk Meredith through it, Meredith just unpacks so much childhood trauma. I'm like, that's like, go back to therapy, not in like a negative way, just to like have like really like solid support. That is like wild to just like unpack that like suppressed memory, essentially.
Do you have the receipts on this suppressed memory so we can all relive that together? Yeah, that was that really was a lot.
Jooby dooby doop boo. Oh.
But the beginning of that conversation where Derek says, "Let's have this truce." Like, let's. What did they do in How I Met Your Mother? I think Marshall and Lily had like a timeout.
Pause.
Yeah, pause. I think that's good for people to have.
Mm. Depends on the people. Okay. Meredith says, "I remember moving to Boston. I remember the two of us basically hiding out in an apartment. And I remember she cried a lot. And I remember her belly getting big. And I knew I wasn't supposed to make any noise. And then her water broke on the kitchen floor. And that scared me because it reminded me of the blood in the kitchen when she cut her wrists. And when I went to the hospital, I was there both times. And I heard a baby cry. And I heard my mother cry. And then we went home. And her belly wasn't big anymore. And then we moved across town to a house, a really nice house. And then she started her fellowship at Mass Gen, and I just started first grade. And then she was just Dr. Ellis Gray, and I was just a kid in school, and everything went back to normal. I was 5 years old. What was the alternative? And I have a sister." So, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't occur to me when she was in there in the apartment hiding, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess my question is, was she already working? Like, how would she have?
Yeah, that's what to me is unclear. I mean, she definitely wasn't like working at a hospital. If she was working, she would have been probably just doing some like very like minimum wage type job, or maybe she just like had some money either saved up from the other thing from her previous job, or maybe she took money when she left Thatcher. I don't know. But she just went to Boston, basically did not leave this apartment for 9 months, had the baby, put the baby up for adoption, moved across town, and started at Mass Gen.
That's crazy.
Yeah, truly.
And also, all of this, Meredith was 5 years old.
Yeah.
I imagine Marlo trying, well, first off, that scene, this is the scene that really fucked me up. When Ellis has cut herself, there's blood everywhere, and she goes, "Don't worry, Meredith, it's only blood." And then she passes out, and then she says on the phone, "My mommy just tried to kill herself."
Yeah.
That is insane.
Yeah. That's a bummer.
Trying to think about my daughter having to make a phone call like that. Trying to think about any kid having to make that phone call.
Or seeing something
or
like
seeing
that.
Like that. Seeing something like that. Yeah. But 5 years old, making that call.
And also, I'm just like, when Meredith was like, we could have had a whole different life. I'm like, that's.
We got a whole episode about it.
I know, but it's just like crazy to think about, like, just the immediate aftermath. Like, literally that day, he was like, I won't go with you. And she went home and tried to kill herself. That's just like. Just a lot to unpack for all involved parties.
Yeah. And then the implication is that they went how many years without seeing each other after that? Long time?
A lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
Because I guess in my timeline, they didn't see each other until he would visit her at the nursing home.
Yeah, I don't think they saw each other after she left for Boston. Because I feel like the whole thing was she was working in Boston. And then they go back. Meredith goes to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
For the job. And brings Ellis is basically wants to go into hiding when she has to go into memory care for Alzheimer's. She doesn't want people to know that she's sick.
Yet she moved to the city that Richard Weber lives in.
I'm sure there was some subconscious choice making, yeah. If not conscious.
We also really didn't talk about that end scene, not super in depth, but when Meredith goes to Pierce at the end.
Yes, I love this scene. Okay, I have these receipts as well.
Yeah, those are good receipts.
Which I like that Meredith, here's what I will say about Meredith.
What will you say?
I do think she could have done an actual I'm sorry apology. To Maggie. Just for. Because when she first told her, she had a pretty negative reaction. And she was like, you're lying or you're trying to like get money from me. Which is a bummer. And she has obviously since then realized that's not the case. And so I do think it would be valid and fair for her to be like, hey, I'm really sorry I reacted this way. And I would like to tell you some things. So this is what she does say. You didn't ask for a sister and you probably don't need one. Your parents send you singing fish. You're very accomplished for your age and you seem very happy. So you can go if you want. I can understand why you would want to. But I would like to show you something if you have a minute. She wrote in these journals obsessively, mostly surgical notes, ideas, but this one is from around the time you were born. And Maggie takes the journal and she reads, a surgeon can fail for any number of reasons, whether from a patient's morbidity or a surgeon's ineptitude. Meredith says, they're not so warm. She wasn't either. But there is more to her than I'm still finding out things about her myself. She mostly wrote at night with a glass of wine, as you can see by the ring stains. But I think here is where she found out she was pregnant because the wine stains stop and she starts writing down everything she ate. So this is when she realized she was pregnant with you and she wanted you to be okay. She wanted you to be healthy. She tried at least. And then they're like looking through the journal together and Richard is waiting for the elevator and he sees them and he feels happiness.
When they were going through that scene of Meredith looking through the journals, mm-hmm. It looked as though that wine stain was on the back of like two in-between pages mm-hmm. and there were pages ripped out of the journal. But the imprint was on it, like the pen writing through, you know? Mm. That's what I thought was going to be the thing that they missed, was they were reading the words off of the imprint on the back of the page.
Well, it's not psych, so I don't think they're going to do a detective work. But I think like, it just looks like that because in a journal, when you write like that, it's going to look like that. But it was not there. I don't think there were pages ripped out.
No. I'm saying that when I was watching it, like, because yeah. I was also watching this on my phone on the train.
Right.
But also, you act like I've ever written in a journal before, and I would know this.
Well, you've written on two pieces of paper on top of each other, haven't you?
Never.
You've never written on a legal pad?
Never.
I've seen you write on a legal pad.
Never.
This man is a liar.
All I'm going to say is right now, we're both right.
I hate him. Okay.
I don't know that we've missed anything.
I was just gonna say, I think we did a good job.
We were
sorry for all the tangents.
I don't even get. Can you tell me what is happening now? Are there more people fighting on our posts?
Yeah, I'll show you later.
Oh.
Okay. Wait. I did write.
Oh, wait. One last thing. When there's a scene in the beginning when there's a flashback and Alice says to Meredith, "You grew up. That's a shame. It's awful being a grown up. Mm-hmm. You are fucking right, Alice." Mm-hmm.
Also, you remember like the carousel always never stops turning, people keep referencing that to you.
Yeah.
At one point, Derek does come in and give Meredith the worst apology in the world. And that's when Meredith is like, say what you said with your whole chest. Like, don't say it and then try and backtrack it. Like, you suck, so just fucking deal with it.
Yeah. Good. Call him out.
Call him out. That's all I have.
To all the women out there, call those boys out.
So true. Okay, we have some Discord questions.
Let's cause some Discord.
Okie dokie. Oh, Owen was in this one for a minute at the very beginning because he says, Yang and I busted our asses off interviewing
people. Oh, yeah, that's right.
When she literally did all the interviews. Typical. That was from Zoe. Does Derek's McBrother moment with Maggie make up for the behavior in the rest of the season? No.
No, but I do think it is worth...
It is a good Derek moment.
Yeah.
It just doesn't outweigh everything else.
My take on Derek in this scene is ultimately, I think that people can do the wrong thing for the right reasons. The problem is that Derek is acting shitty because he's mad at the right choice that he made for the wrong reason. The correct choice for everyone out there, so you know, is to not leave your family and to not go to DC. The problem is he should never...
I don't think that that's right.
I don't think that he... Okay. He should also never have been in the situation where it got that far down that road to start with.
Well, that's probably true, but I just think it would be feasible. Just go to DC. It's fine.
I don't know. I have a hard time. I also don't
people
think
travel
I would
for
wanna...
work all the time. It's feasible.
Listen, I'm not saying that it's not feasible.
I'm saying it's not feasible for you, for sure. You couldn't do it.
Wow. Well, now I'm gonna do it.
Okay. Do it. Anyways, not a question, but they're playing fast and loose with the timeline. Oh, yeah, we mentioned that. Zoe said about the Harper Avery and, like, the where is Richard and Ellis and Thatcher's, like, relationship throughout the Harper Avery recipient timelines. Do you think the small pause and where were we was a hint for the Alzheimer's? I do, yes. Carmen maybe agrees.
I do think that I agree. But I guess on the tail end of when she said it's for all women that are going to be surgeons that will come after me.
Yeah, I like that take as well. I do think it's harder for me to get there because of like the pretty deep disdain that is established between Ellis and Meredith. But I would love for that to be the case.
Well, I think, yes, that makes sense, the disdain. But I think it's paired with we're also coming off the heels of when Meredith is revealing to Maggie that Ellis didn't actively try to kill this baby.
Yeah.
You know,
she actually tried to keep the baby alive.
She tried to keep the baby alive. She tried to
like,
do
tried
the
to
right thing.
Keep it healthy. And she wanted to, she wanted the baby to be okay. She just could not keep the baby.
I also think that they've made Ellis's character such an egotistical person, like a very self-centered person, that she also hopes that her legacy is her offspring become surgeons. So maybe that's too much of a stretch and the Alzheimer's a closer thing, but because of all the things that happened right before that scene, mm-hmm. where both of her daughters were together in the same room talking in a world
being
where Ellis doesn't
surgeons.
Exist.
And earlier yeah. in the day, like doing incredible things that were like blowing people's minds.
Yeah. Like that to me is where I'm like, oh, Ellis was thinking about her future daughters and hoping that they become surgeons one day.
I am just in this moment realizing that I was like, oh, we only had two patients. It's because they only gave Maggie and Meredith patients and they only made them do like really incredible successful surgeries. I see what they've done.
Yeah.
I'm on to you guys. Only took 12 viewings.
But that's why I thought about the daughter thing, like for the women and getting emotional.
How do you feel about Richard saying he made the wrong choice staying with Adele? I don't know how I feel about it, to be honest.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't love it.
That's like,
it's very similar to what Derek is doing, where he made this choice and then he's going to make it everybody else's problem. Because it really, from what we saw for a good chunk of Richard and Adele, he wasn't great to her.
Yeah.
Like, obviously the cheating, but then even after he stayed, he was just like never there.
Yeah. Yeah. I am not a fan of that comment and that thought, because also, him and Adele had a good life.
Yeah.
I think it's also implied that he spends every day with Adele and he's miserable and then he becomes an alcoholic and he ruins his life anyways. And that's what, like, Adele had said something like, I watched what that, like, what she did to my husband and I stood by him every day mm-hmm. while he was an alcoholic and all these things. And I guess the question is, should you just have left then? But it sounds like there was no way that they would have gotten in contact with each other. But if she's becoming this huge big shot surgeon, he could have just been like showing up at her hospital saying, I'm here to see Dr. Ellis Gray, and she would have taken
him back.
Well,
even like when they're scrubbing in before the surgery and he's like, it'll be better for them because they deserve people who can make them happy. But he stays with her, and I'm like, I don't think you made her happy because you were a dick for, like, the following 40 years.
Yeah. Until she forgot who you were.
Yeah. It's just, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, you can't be with her because you're jealous. Okay, so you just, like, were jealous from the other side of the country?
Mm.
Like, did ending it make you not jealous of her? No, you just need to work on yourself and be supportive of people you care about.
Go to therapy.
So real. Okay. Want to know what Carmen's reaction first thought was when he heard the email Maggie sent out about leaving.
I was like, there's no way that she's actually leaving. Like, the story just got started. I loved that they were together talking at the end there. That was so kind.
Yeah.
And kismet. Kismet.
Twas nice.
Twas.
How do you think Alex is going to do with the new peds attending?
Good. He's going to do great.
Good.
Good. Next question. Good.
I still
think Alex is one of my favorite characters on the show. So I hope he does well.
How do you think Meredith will respond long term to Maggie being her sister? Will she welcome her a la Lexi, or what will that relationship look like?
Welcome a la Lexi. And we're going to get an episode where Lexi returns from the afterlife as the ghost of Christmas past, but a good ghost. A good ghost. Oh, wait, future. Ghosts. Future was the bad ghost.
All of them are good. They all serve a very important purpose. Just because one of them is scary doesn't mean, like, billionaires deserve to be scared. So, you know.
I had someone at work the other day say, no, there's no such thing as an ethical billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't know. Taylor seems nice.
Yeah, she can also be taxed.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They should all be taxed.
It's just like, you look at Dolly Parton, it's not hard to not be a billionaire. You just do it.
It's fair.
Okay. Now, this is not really a question, but I'm going to read it because I think it's valid. It's from our good friend Kafwampler.
Kafwampler! Oh, an angel.
So the part of Maggie saving the dude from being paralyzed reminds me of this. How do you feel about the trope in movies and TV where the doctor is like, hold on, give me a second. And the other doctor is like, no, call it. Or there's nothing else you can do. And the other one's like, no, damn it, give me a minute. And then they bring the person back to life or fix the ailment. How many times have you seen he's gone, call it. And then there's one doctor saying, no, I've got this. And then the last shock is what saves them. It makes me scared. Like if I'm going in for something or a procedure, I want my doctor to be the one who says, no, wait, and gives it one last go to save me. Because how many times does it happen? They better not just try three times on me when the fourth time would have brought me back. I don't know. It just seems like, damn, y'all are really going to let that person die. Which I have thought this exact like train of thought I have had so many times.
Yeah. I mean, that is definitely scary. That's, I think, medicine. Like, medicine is a science, but it's not an act, like a real, it's not perfect and it's not flawless. It doesn't operate in a vacuum all the time. I think the other trope is how many times do they say, you did everything perfect and you still lost the patient? That's what I'm scared of. I'm scared of the, like me being the person who they did everything right. They gave you the right medicine at the right time, at the right dose, and I just die of the fucking
sneeze. That means it's your time to go, brother.
Sneeze. I just sneeze to death.
Die of the sneeze.
I don't want to die of the sneeze, you know?
I am going to read this last bit because it's funny. That's not really a question at all, I guess, other than am I the only one who rolls their eyes at that kind of scene? I'm glad Maggie saved him from being paralyzed. I just wonder how many people are wheeling around in their wheelchairs because Maggie Pierce isn't available to unparalyze them, or a doctor gives up when the next shot would have jolted him back to life.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, how many people are dead because the lunch bell rang a minute too soon? Yeah.
So true.
Should we do the thing that we do where we rate it now on a scale of 1 to 10?
Oh yeah, we're doing that now.
Can I go first?
Yeah.
I think a 7.7.
Crazy.
7.7.
I'm going to say 8.8.
Interesting. Interesting. What would it have been on a scale of 1 to 5?
4.7.
Interesting. Probably a four for me on a scale of 1 to 5. But yeah, 7.7. It's a good episode. It gives a lot of like background. I like the flashbacks. I think I just don't love the storyline of Ellis and Weber because I also don't love storylines that romanticize the people causing infidelity.
Yeah.
But great acting, great backstory, and Meredith and Pierce at the end, them having that scene.
Yeah,
and then
I like the reconciliation a lot. I really did.
And then there's some comedic moments from Amelia and then Bailey.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, predictions.
I predict that Derek and Meredith will not get a divorce. I predict that Maggie will stay and she will be welcomed into the family like Lexi. I also think that another friend of Derek's from the past, who is a plastic surgeon, is going to come in and marry Maggie. And then they're going to die on a plane crash.
Interesting.
Yes. But that's going to happen in season 20.
Okay. Anything about Alex and Joe individually the two of them?
Alex and Joe are going to get married. I love Alex and Joe together, so that is my truth. Joe, I do like at one point she's like to Maggie, just take me with you wherever you go. Yeah. Can I go with you? A la Shane.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's my only prediction for them. We haven't seen them be in any weird spot. And now that Meredith isn't like coming over to their house to get drunk and be sad about this Pierce thing,
mm-hmm.
I think Joe and Alex will get back to being regular Joe and Alex. I think Steph is going to enter into an open relationship with Ben and Bailey.
Interesting.
And George's character is going to come back, but not as George, and he will also be in that relationship. So the four of them will be a quad couple, as they call it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Love that for you.
Yeah.
Okay, I think, who else?
Wait, I'd like to make a real prediction on Steph.
I would love you to make a real prediction.
Yeah, I think Steph is going to end up in cardio.
In cardio?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think Joe is going to end up in neuro.
Okay. We didn't see Callie in Arizona, but do you have anything for them?
Well, they set up Arizona basically saying, I need to take something off my plate so that my marriage lasts.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they're going to attack that relationship again. I think that relationship has been through enough. I think they're going to have a surrogate. It's going to go smooth. They're not going to be any car crashes. The baby will be fine. They're going to have a beautiful baby boy. So a boy and a girl, Sophia and Sophio, and they're going to be just so happy together.
Lovely. Okay. Owen.
Fuck him. I don't have a prediction. He gets no prediction.
Love it.
I still think Owen's going to be gone by season 13. Like, and not soon enough. Let's get a different, let's try this again.
Okay. I mean, anything for Maggie at all?
No. I like her. I like her a lot. Even today, this episode, still, I like her. I'd like to see her succeed. I'd like to see her be a part of the show for a long time. And the fact that she's Meredith's sister ultimately means she will get killed at some point. But
good.
I'm just going to enjoy it for right now.
We love consistency.
Well, yeah. We have a precedent to uphold.
So true. Okay, well, I think that's it, unless you have anything else you want to just tack on there for no reason.
Buy me Pokemon cards, everyone. Don't forget.
Please don't buy him anything.
Buy me. Well, hey.
Guys, sorry. I'm going to be honest. I don't know what next week's going to look like because we're both traveling. We're going to try to do something. It might not be Grays. So fucking sorry. If it is, yay. We are doing our best. Again, children, pregnancy, business, pets, life, travel, full-time jobs, traveling. Pokemon. Okay, it's fine. We live lives. Okay, but we thank you all so much for all your support. And we love you guys. Thank you so much for listening and being understanding and giving us grace because we are human beings. We love it so much. Gentle kisses. I'm showering you with gentle kisses. Not you, the listeners. And then just make sure you keep sharing and rating and leaving reviews and telling everybody in the world to listen to this. And just remember, if you see Carmen walking down the streets of Tennessee or Savannah or Chicago,
no spoilies! We appreciate you all so much, and we'll see you all in the next one.